Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today we are going to talk with a designer who does a lot with clothing, and then we have one of our contributing pattern designers on, and then lastly we have a designer on that you know and love and has been doing quilts, warm and toasty quilts, for many, many years. So let's first get started with our guest who does a lot of clothing patterns, and I just think this is so exciting because when I went to the trade show and I first saw Lisa Gibson's booth, Liesl's got just this amazing style, and she had all these totally adorable children's clothing. And so I know she does more than that, and we're going to hear all about it. So, you know, hi, Liesl, how are you?
Hi, Pat. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is so exciting to have you on the show because, you know, many of us started making clothing before we did quilts. Don't you find that?
You know, I see it go both ways. I see quilters become apparel sewers, and I see apparel sewers become quilters. So, it's kind of a mix.
Well, that's pretty cool. So why did you decide to do your focus on children's clothing? You know, you were in other industries before you came to this.
I was an apparel designer before my daughter was born, and I mostly designed men's and women's clothing. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted to be home with my daughter when she was born.
Yeah.
And I found that I was missing that camaraderie of this creative team that I had, you know, when I was working in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sewing for her, and it all kind of just snowballed from there. So I really had no intention of getting into children's clothing, but I guess she was kind of the inspiration for it.
Now, your name of your company is Oliver and S. How did that, is it Oliver and S or plus S? Because it's written with a plus sign.
It is. It's Oliver and S, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's actually named after my daughter, who we call S. She's the paper doll that goes behind our product and on our packages. And she's in a lot of the photos that we show. Mm-hmm. So we try to reserve a little bit of her privacy by just referring to her as S rather than using her full name. Mm-hmm. And then the Oliver portion of that actually comes from my friend Laurel, who had initially suggested that I start making the patterns that I was drafting for kids' clothes into sewing patterns that we actually published.
Mm-hmm.
Her son is named Oliver. And so when I named the company, I wanted to include her in that manner. So it became Oliver and S. Yeah.
It's such a cute name, and it's just such a cute story. Yes. Now, you know, I'm on your website, which is, that would be Liesl and Company. It's like LIESLANDCO.com. And then from there, you go out to all of the things that you do. You also, are you also doing adult, women's clothing patterns too on the Lizette?
We are, yes. Well, that was something we launched last year. And that has really been primarily for the chain stores. So we teamed up with Fabric Traditions, which does all of our fabrics for that collection. And then we're also working with Simplicity Patterns, and we did a line of sewing patterns for women's apparel with Simplicity. So that goes into mostly the Joanne stores nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also done
exciting.
In Australia. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun to work on that too. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that part of it, so I was excited to see it since I had written with you the other day. Now, let's Liesl, tell me about the paper dolls, because that makes such a signature look for your children's patterns. What is that about? It's so cute.
It is. I love paper dolls.
Me
too. That was really, when I was first starting to talk about the company, I mentioned the idea to my friend Brooke, who just latched onto this. She just loved this idea. And we were talking about various packaging ideas that we had for the sewing patterns. And she one night was reading, do you know the book Ezra Jack Keats, he wrote and illustrated this darling book called A Snowy Day?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just this beautiful book. It's all fabric collage, or paper collage, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was reading this book to her kids one night, and it all of a sudden came to her that it would be really fun to do the sewing patterns as a paper doll.
Mm.
So it was really her idea, and she did all of the logo design and all the package design for me. So she really had a hand in the company very early. And then we went and hired this amazing illustrator. His name is Dan Andreasen, and he's probably best known. He's published a ton of books. He illustrates all over. But he's probably best known for his work with the American Girls books.
Okay.
And we didn't know that
yeah.
when we hired him, but he's yeah. just, he does this beautiful sort of old-style illustration. Mm-hmm. He paints everything. It's just this tiny, minute scale, and mm-hmm. it's just so much fun to work with him. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail in it, and people can go to your website and hit the play button, you know, at the top,
yeah.
and then you're able to dress the dolls. I love
Absolutely.
Paper dolls.
It's so much fun to play with that. That's a new feature. We just relaunched our website a couple of weeks ago, and that whole playing with the paper dolls thing is new, and we've just had so much fun with that. I think the kids like it, too.
I just love it. I love that part. Now, you know, what I always find is interesting because your patterns, like the covers with the drawings, do you also show any place where they're made up in fabric for people who might not be able to visualize as well a drawing?
We do. You know, we've just recently started on the new website, we're starting mm-hmm. to show more photography.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been working with some kids who have been modeling for us. And we try to show each of the new seasons as a photograph in addition to the illustrations. Mm-hmm. And then on the website also, when you click on a particular pattern, you can see additional photographs of that. But the really fun part, I think, if you love photography and if you love to actually see things made up, is mm-hmm. we very early on created a Flickr group for the sewing patterns. And anyone who makes something using the patterns can post photos of their kids wearing the clothing. And it's so fun to see how people actually use those patterns and make them their own. And, you know, the way the pattern changes when you pick a different fabric and, you know, the different colors and different details that people will add. And that's what, to me, makes it really special. So I always encourage people to go and look at the Flickr group because I think it's so fun to just see all the different ways you can take a pattern.
Yeah, the show and tell is amazing, isn't it?
That's, yeah, I think so. I think so.
now, tell me, you design cottons with Moda. You know, your fabric
yeah.
lines with Moda are all, you know, quilt-style cottons. Are you using those in the clothing, and what kind of tips might you have for that?
Well, I think that quilting cottons lend themselves perfectly to sewing kids' clothes. And really, I design the patterns primarily for quilting cottons because I think they're easy to care for. You have a huge variety of selection in terms of colors and prints and, you know, directions you want to take it. And also, you can find a quilt shop anywhere. So it makes a lot of sense, I think, for the patterns to be in a quilt shop because, it, you know, the fabric is right there and all you need in addition is the pattern. So for me, it's just a natural progression. You know, the quilting cottons work perfectly for kids' clothes. They're easy care, and you know, they're pretty. So
they're pretty. Yeah. So
yeah.
when you're designing your lines, are you visualizing how they're going to be on a certain outfit, or you know, what's sort of your thought process there?
Oh, when I'm designing the fabrics?
Yes, the fabrics. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I tend to think because, you know, Oliver and Nessa is kind of my true love, I tend to kind of think about how they're going to work in the kids' clothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, I love quilting. I don't have a lot of time for it these days, but I love quilting. And it's really been fun for me to learn from the quilters who I meet at quilt shows and through the Moda sales reps and people like that. It's been really fun for me to learn more about how quilters think about the fabrics as well. And I think it's helping me to be a better fabric designer because I'm tending to think a little bit more like a quilter when I'm designing as well. I'm thinking about the scales and, you know, how you're gonna use a collection together. So I've really enjoyed learning more.
Chop it up
What's
into
that?
2-inch squares, right? That's like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And some of them work really well that way and others don't so much. But, you know, I think it's nice to have the variety, too, the larger scale prints as well as the smaller scale.
So why did you decide to design fabric? Was it something you always wanted to do or did it just sort of happen?
I guess it kind of happened. I did some print design when I was working as a designer, as an apparel designer. Mm-hmm. But back then I had a team of people who did all the computer work mm-hmm. for me, so I would give them yeah. a sketch and then they would make it happen, which was amazing. I guess the reason I got into doing it myself was really because I was I sort of had a look I wanted to convey when I was designing patterns, and if I wanted to put together a trunk show, or, you know, when we started taking photos for the website, if I had a particular look I wanted to try to achieve, it became kind of challenging to find just the right prints for that or the right collection that would work for it. Mm-hmm. So it did sort of become a natural progression for me to end up saying, well, you know, maybe I should be making those prints for myself,
right,
because
right.
I don't really see exactly what's out there that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that it was a challenge to get myself up to speed in terms of actually making them. You know, you can have mm-hmm. the idea in your mind, but before right. I always had a team who made it happen for me, and this time I had to make it happen for myself, which was definitely a steep learning curve.
Yeah, learn something new. So,
absolutely.
I want you to get in before we leave, Lisa, Straight Stitch Society that you
Straight
have.
Stitch
Tell us what
Society.
That is.
We just launched that today. We're so excited about it. It's all small projects. It's all sort of impulse buys, you know, something that you can, it's a little bit of a stash buster. They're inexpensively priced, and they're little projects like handbags, and there's a real cute little sewing kit in there, and some little animal-shaped coin purses where the zipper is in their mouth.
Adorable.
They're a lot of fun. And they're fun, and they're quick, and they're, you know, we really wanted to get the feeling of sort of Friday night sewing club, you know, just sort of hanging out with your girlfriends, and they're a little sassy, I guess is the word. I don't really like that word, but I think that's probably the best word to describe them. They have a little bit of an attitude, and we have this ridiculous manifesto of just crazy claims, completely outlandish claims that we make for the patterns. It's really fun. It's on the website. It was a fun little idea that we had last year, and it's been a lot of fun to actually bring it into reality. So we were really excited to launch that.
Yeah, I like the one manifesto is don't make it if it's not super cute. You know, it's like, well, I can relate.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. So do you have a new fabric line coming out this year?
My next fabric collection, it's actually featured on the Straight Stitch patterns, on the handbags primarily. That will be, I think, in stores July or August of this year, and that's called the Ladies Stitching Club.
And
it's all sort of sewing related. It's all, you know, there's sort of embroidery related motifs and things like that. It's a lot of fun. It's a real cute collection.
A weekend,
well, Lisa,
or a couple of
this
weeks.
Has been great. Thank you for being on.
Sale now.
Well, thanks so much, Pat. It was fun to talk with you.
Okay, bye bye. We'll be right
back. Take care.
But big on style. Find All Small at your local quilt shop or newsstand today.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
The 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge continues through 2012, and we're taking the show on the road. Come sew with Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and other members of our editorial staff on June 22nd at AccuQuilt at their new office in Omaha, Nebraska. Stop by and make a pillowcase, make a difference.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I hope you enjoyed talking with Liesl Gibbons of Oliver and S. Wasn't that fun? You have to go out, check out her new Stitch Society. So now we're going to go on and talk to Kim Wallace. And Kim is a regular contributor to American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, family of magazines. She's also a Moda Bake Shop designer and has a really fun website that she runs called Bitty Bits and Pieces. So I'm really excited to have Kim come on, and we're going to talk about some technique things with her. So hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm great. I'm really excited that you're on the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
So you've been, inspired to design projects for American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. So, you know, is that fun? Do you like doing that, getting your stuff published?
I'm kind of really new jumping into, you know, the magazine market, and it's been really a lot of fun participating in that. I've really enjoyed the experience.
Well, we just think your designs are amazing. You're very clever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's nice to hear.
Well, tell me a little bit about, you have a quilt coming out in Quilts and More, which is going to be on sale in about 10 days or so, maybe less, and it's called Mixed Berries. Tell me a little bit about your inspiration for that project.
Well, that's kind of been a work in progress. I actually was starting to design that and possibly use that for a Moda's Bake Shop. Mm-hmm. And then I had an opportunity when I went to Quilt Market and met with some of the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. Mm-hmm. And they really loved it and were really interested in it. And that's kind of how that happened. It was a fun experience. And then, you know, making it new again, I'd already made the quilt, and so picking something new was really fun to do. Use fabrics and designing where to put, you know, what in each position in the quilt block. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun.
Can you describe the quilt just a little bit? You know, just a little peek at it so that people know what they're going to be looking
for?
Sure,
sure. Again, you know, with Moda Bake Shop, it's always a challenge when you're designing using those different pieces, the jelly rolls and the charm packs and,
right,
you know, all of those things, the layer cakes. And so I decided to use a jelly roll, but you can also use a layer cake to cut up slices of fabric. And they're 2.5 strips, inch strips, and there are 5 of them. Mm-hmm. And then in that center strip, you cut it in the middle, and you add in a 2.5-inch square block. And then on each corner, opposing corners, you have a half-square triangle that you sew onto each of the strips. First strip is this strip. So it creates a real fun little pinwheel. You actually turn it, you know, where the lines go vertical and then horizontal and then back and forth, and it creates a fun little pattern. And so go ahead.
I was going to say, I think people really love working with those pre-cuts. Have you found that since you've been doing
so
much?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed that because you don't have to make as big of a financial investment in buying, you know, your typical quarter yard piece that you buy. And you get a whole strip and a little jelly roll, you know, for minimal investment, and you get a good-sized quilt.
So do you collect them, Kim? Do you like I was asking people this.
I actually collect charm packs more than I do jelly rolls. I love all of them. And then if I have a particular quilt in mind, I certainly like to buy the jelly rolls and the layer cakes. Mm-hmm. They're very useful.
They are very useful, you know, and you know, you were talking, let's touch back a bit, because you were talking about how it is a challenge, whether you're designing, you know, for yourself or for a magazine publication or for the Moda Bake Shop, that you're, you know, you have a challenge when you're using just one line of fabric.
That's true.
How do you approach that? Is there some method you sometimes look at a line of fabric and you think, oh, you know, do you have like a technique of thinking about it?
Yeah, I do, kind of. I kind of call it organized chaos. you take a whole lot of things and you try to organize it, make it aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And so what I did with a particular line that I picked is I like to have a variety of color ways. Mm-hmm. And I like to try to make them even. Mm-hmm.
like in this particular quilt, it has a lot of the red, white, and blues. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get a balance of, you know, the number of reds, the number of blues, and the number of creams to mix and make these blocks. And so that really is important for me to be able to see a line and know where I'm going to plug those pieces in.
So you sort of sort them a little bit just to...
Yes, I do.
Ah,
I do.
That's
you'll recognize when you see the actual quilt, you'll see what I did. I did four different blocks, and so I divided up the jelly roll into groupings of red, whites, and blues, and there were four sets of five. And
cool.
And then I twisted the blocks back and forth, so they're in the same position in each row, but they, you know, they change position. And so it kind of creates a basket weave fill.
Mm-hmm,
and then
the pinwheels,
yeah, and then the pinwheels kind of are on point, and so it has a fun feel to it.
And once again, we're talking about Mixed Berries, which is a quilt that Kim designed for Quilts and More, which will be out on the newsstands in April. So, you know, Kim, we were talking prior to the show, emailing, actually, everybody. But
right.
Yeah, and you were telling me that you have some tips for perfect quilt blocks because, you know, you're a piecer and you've, you know, perfected some things. So why don't you tell me what your three tips are that you like to give out?
Well, I actually have taught quilting to several people for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they always are a little intimidated by perfection. and they get frustrated and want to toss their blocks when they don't come out as well as they should. And so I kind of start off by, you know, saying that perfection, you know, can create a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching them that you need to pick a standard and then stick with that.
Right.
So, for example, when you cut, the three keys are cutting accurately, sewing accurately, and pressing accurately. So, naturally, cutting accurately means that if they're 5-inch by 5-inch squares, you need to make sure that they are truly 5 by 5, not 4 7/8 or 4 and, you know.
Five and an eighth, right? Yeah, that's...
Exactly. And if you're going to cut it a smidge lower than 5, make sure that they're all a smidge below. In other words, make them all as accurate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find that starching your fabric beforehand will really help keep your fabric, you know, nice and stiff, right? So it doesn't move or shift at all.
Do you have a starch that you prefer? I mean, are you like a best press person or are you a traditional starch person?
Yeah, I do like the best press. Mm-hmm. And my favorite scent is, of course, cherry blossom.
Oh.
wonderful scent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the next key would be sewing accurately. I remember hearing years ago Mary Ellen Hopkins referring to your press of foot as your own personal private measurement, or PPM.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how other seamstresses are or quilters, but I have more than one machine. And so when I start a quilt, you want to make sure that you start and end on that same quilt because it can vary. If you're not careful, you're not checking.
Yeah.
On your
that's an excellent point because people do switch around on their machines.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially if you're going to classes and you have one at home. And so you want to be very attuned to that. You know, make sure and measure and your seams and whatnot. So, and then another thing that I'm kind of a nut about is pressing accurately. And what I mean by that is making sure that your seams will fit snugly together when you're putting them together. Where you have your hills and your valleys and your seams are pressed in opposing, you know, directions.
Like they snuggle in.
Yeah, where it's that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
Where your seams snuggle in. And that really helps keep your points and everything really accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my little tips.
Well, those are, I just love them, Kim. They're so useful because it's a good reminder, don't you think? Even if you thought about it, maybe you don't you get in bad habits sometimes?
Yeah, you can. And quilting is all about creating a good habit and sticking with it. And then it becomes second nature, right?
Right.
Where you just can go right in and sell and not have any problems. And then I think another fun thing, too, is realizing that not everything comes out perfect or you'll make a mistake, and so you have to pick your own perfection. Am I going to unpick that or not? You know? Can I live with that little boo-boo or not, right?
Right, exactly. So. I mean, if it's going to make you crazy, then you want to undo it, because don't you find you won't like the quilt or you won't work on it if you have something in there making you nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know that Jill Mead, who's the editor of Quilts and More, she's like fanatical about the pressing part. You know, so you're kindred spirits there.
Yes, yes. And so when I design, I try to make sure to pay real attention to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my previous one for, it was in the February issue.
Oh, right.
American Patchwork and Quilting.
Right.
The merry-go-round quilt.
Yeah,
that's got really detailed pictures of, you know, the pressing and where to go and how to do it. Because when you press it accurately and they fit in really snugly, like you said, all your points are perfect on your half-square triangles and your pinwheels. So it's really helpful, the pressing part. So
we should be on a pressing crusade, Kim.
Yes, I agree. It really helps.
I know. I need a new ironing board cover. If you're on my Facebook page, you'll know I was talking about that today. It's like driving me nuts. But okay, so before we're done here, I want to get one more. I want to touch on one more thing. You are an active Pinterest board developer.
Oh, yes,
your boards are amazing.
Thanks. Well, there's so much inspiration out there. I'm just in awe of all the creativity that is out there. And so for me, it's a visual filing cabinet that inspires me and just excites me, you know, and it's really fun to do, isn't it?
It is fun. And I noticed a lot of red on yours. That's
Yes, yes, yes. All you have to do is visit my blog and know that I love red, black, and white.
Yes. Well, Kim, this has been fabulous to have you on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming and chatting and giving us all these tips.
Oh, you're sure welcome.
I want to go visit Kim at bittybitsandpieces.blogspot.com and watch for her quilts in our family of magazines. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to take a little break and be right back.
Pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at stashbooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaVoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we are now going to spend the next half of the show with the designer behind Kansas Trouble Quilters. You all know Kansas Trouble Quilters. You know her fabric. You know her patterns. And Lynn Hagmeyer is here, and I am just so happy to have her on the show. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Pat. How are you today?
I am so excited to be talking to you.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you know, do you remember when we first met?
Oh gosh, you'll have to refresh my memory. What story is there?
It's not too bad actually. So we're safe. Yeah, I won't tell everything. But you, American Patchwork and Quilting does creative circles, which you know a couple times.
Oh sure,
They've done this, and so we knew each other prior to the creative circle. But you and I were both in the same creative circle, and that's when we really started talking and got to know each other. So it was You know, I think that event fulfilled everybody's just wildest imagination of being pampered, don't you? It was like,
boy, they know how to throw a party. And if they could, I mean, they could have lit up all of downtown Des Moines, I think, with all the creative energy in that room. It was just on fire. It was great fun.
Yeah, this is an event, folks, that a few times American Patchwork has hosted, bringing designers in, and we got to play with things and mostly network and meet each other, which was the best part, huh, Lynn?
You know, they had a way of making us really think outside our little boxes that we're in and rubbing heads with other designers who work with totally different color palettes and totally different techniques. And you just came away all fired up. They're just genius in the way that they do that.
Yeah, I just loved it. It was so funny. There were people who worked by themselves and people who worked in teams, and the team people would have to work by themselves, and they were all like, no, I can't do that. I remember that. I forget which. There were a couple of teams there. I forget who it was.
But well, the Buggy Barn girls were there. The sisters were there, and they split them up.
Yeah,
and yeah, they panicked the first day.
Nope, you got to work by yourself. And then, of course, you and I work by ourselves, you know, and then we have to work with somebody else. It's like, oh, I don't know.
If you can just let go of all the preconceived notions of what you normally do in your life and have fun, it was just a blast. And I hear they're doing another one after market this time. So there's another group of ladies that are going to be treated to royal APQ party dome this May.
Yes, it was really, really cool. So tell me a little bit about how you got to be a quilter, Lynn. You know, how did that happen for you? How did you start your business? Because it's just so successful.
I was a social worker. Very stressful in Child Protective Services, and like I've noticed a lot of nurses and teachers and people in those professions are quilters because it is such a fabulous stress relief. And that's what I did it for. I've always enjoyed crafts of all kinds. I had toll painted and cross-stitched and done lots of other kinds of crafting, but I noticed that I was painting quilt blocks and cross-stitching quilt blocks. And I thought, what is wrong with
Hello.
This picture? You can make a queen-size quilt in the time it takes you to cross-stitch an 8x10 picture of one. So I finally wised up, started to work in a quilt shop after, I guess I was hanging around so much, they just put me to work.
Yeah.
And it just kind of evolved from there. Two friends and I, mentors, really, ladies who were already excellent technically as quilters, and they demanded when we sewed together that I, you know, came up to their standards as a brand new quilter. There was no question what a quarter inch seam was. Their quarter inch seams were perfect quarter inch seams, and I better get with the program or not play. And so I really had to become proficient very quickly. We started making little quilts and selling them at craft shows. But I was drawing up unique patterns for us to make, to sell, because we found out real quickly. A nine-patch people look at and go, is that a potholder? You know,
right.
Is it a placemat? They
right.
just didn't quite get it. One lady came up, we had these cute little flag quilts that we had done, little minis, and she said, oh, those are adorable placemats. And I said, yes, you need to buy a set of six. And she did.
Oh.
So as far as marketing goes, sometimes it worked. But for
yeah.
the most part, we found that applique, if it was a picture of something, then people could wrap their head around hanging a quilt on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So we were giving away the patterns to friends who wanted to make multiples for family and friends for gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is the one who always stopped and pointed out, you know, you're making 82 cents an hour making quilts and selling them. Perhaps what you need to do is sell your patterns.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So one of the partners opted out, and the other two of us went to Quilt Market to check it out, and it just kind of took off from there.
Mm. So, you know, these gals, you worked with them for a little bit, but then now you are working just with your husband, right? That he's
right.
does sort of like the business back end of it, or, you know, how's that work? Is he quilting?
No. I have a gal who is actually here today. She comes on Mondays and Wednesdays, Lois Sprecher. Her name is on virtually every pattern that I do. She pieces probably 90% of what Kansas Troubles produces anymore. I have found that the larger Kansas Troubles grows, the less I get to actually piece.
Mm-hmm.
I have to farm out a lot of the piecing and quilting, and I do most of my quilting on the computer now.
Yeah.
As you know, when you have fabric, we just got fabric this week, and market is in a month. So, but the playbook, the advertising is due tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way you can get a quilt done to get it photographed and have it in what Moda calls their playbook to have it market. So you're on such a time crunch that I have learned that computer generating a quilt is vital. So it's been quite a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
My son, who is in the, you know, he solves computer problems for a living, calls me and most quilters tech-tarded, which I know is probably not very politically correct, but it sure explains exactly how I feel. He's really good about it, talking very simply and explaining things, but some of the programs that I've had to learn, it's really taken a lot to figure out.
Digital quilting is not for the wimps.
No, it isn't. No. And if you try to take a class, for Photoshop or InDesign or something like that, they want to teach you 15 other things that you'll never use.
Mm-hmm.
So my go-to is the technical experts at Moda, and they are so fabulous about sharing their time and their expertise and, teaching me little tidbits at a time. I can only pack so much in my brain at once, and then it shuts down. So I'll drive to Dallas and take a class from them.
I know. I'm picking their brain at the trade show this time, too. So, yes, it's good to know that they're willing to do that. So
Susan Stiff is a name, and Lisa Alexander are like computer geniuses. You will get to know them very well.
So let's talk about your color palette, Lynn, because have you always worked in the earthy tones? Is that been your favorite thing forever?
Forever. It's what I decorate with. It's what I live with. After about my second or third line with Moda, they suggested that I change up the color palette a little bit, and I panicked because I'm like, what would I do? You know, this is not something that you just go out and buy new furniture every year when there's, a new color change like you do a pair of shoes.
Right. Right.
I said, no, really, seriously, this is what I do, and I don't know that I can see it in another palette. So thank goodness quilters are not as fickle as we might think. I think they appreciate the fact that they can buy fat quarters as they find them and know that in 2 years they can make a quilt and still find Kansas Troubles fabric to finish it.
Mm-hmm. And your fabrics do, because you work in the palette that you're working in, they do seem to be able to blend from year to year, so people can mix lines together. Do you find that? Is that
yes?
You
know, it's a very classic, very just warm. You know, baby boomers seem to appreciate it. It's a very comfortable, easy palette to live with.
Yeah, I think comfortable is it. I mean, even people, I believe, you know, anybody wants to have a warm, toasty quilt, at least one. You know, you want something that's comfy, and they always feel sort of broken in already. Do you ever get that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my kids and grandkids and extended family, you know, when you're a quilter, everybody expects a quilt for every occasion that they can think of. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't had anybody turn one down. So they must be pretty agreeable to my color notions.
Now, tell me, you know, we mentioned your newest fabric line. What's it called? What'll be out for the stores to buy when they go to the trade show?
That's always a question that's interesting to me, and when I do programs, you know, people say, what's new? Well, it depends on who you are. If you are Jane Doe Quilter that is buying retail, Holiday Medley is my Christmas line that will hit the quilt shops in June. Mm-hmm. If you are a shop owner, the newest line is called Harvest Moon, and that's what we'll show in Kansas City at Market, and it won't ship until September.
Right.
If you're a fellow designer like yourself and you came up to me and asked me what's new, I would tell you what I'm working on to submit for Christmas for next year.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, always my brain is in three different modes. What's the quilt I need to have ready for the line that's coming to the shops? What do I need to have ready to show the shop owners? And what fabric do I need to submit next? So, you know, it's this constant. Well, my husband calls it a tornado in my head that's going on all the time, and he'll say, okay, which fabric line are you thinking about right now?
Right.
It is. It's about a year-long process, but all of the steps are happening all at the same time.
Yeah, so you have multiple lines going on in your head at once for chatting about them.
Yes.
Yeah. So how many lines have you done? I mean, you can count whatever you're drawing right now.
39, I think, is what we're doing right now.
Wow.
Harvest Moon is 38, I believe, and then the next Christmas line will be 39. So I've been with Moda 11 years as of Fall Market in 2011. Mm-hmm. So I do two main lines a year, one for spring market, one for fall market, and then a Christmas line usually. And every once in a while we'll throw one in. I have a favorites line.
We're going to take a break, Lynn.
Okay.
Right back with Lynn Hagmeier of Kansas Trouble.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Lynn Hagmeyer of Kansas Trouble Quilters. Hey, Lynn. So you have got like, I don't, like 300 fabric lines. You just keeps you very, very busy. Yeah. So you also, besides doing, you know, patterns to go with your fabric lines, you have given us some patterns over the years for the family of magazines in American Patchwork and Quilting. Right now you have a really sweet one called Country Garden that's out. People can download off the internet. And that actually has a little bit of a summery blue color to it, a little lighter than your others.
It was created with some of the Wildflower Serenade fabric from a couple of years ago, where we did a, you know, the top-selling color is the deep, dark navy blues that I do, and then right next in line is the barn red. So we do navy and red in every fabric collection. So we tried a more chambray blue, the lighter blue, to kind of brighten things up, and it was a big hit, but the navy is an all-time favorite, so we've gone back to the navy. But it really kind of makes those darks sparkle to have a little bit of the lighter in there. One of the things that I love about that quilt is it was inspired by an old wool blanket that I found at a flea market. A lot of my ideas are inspired by vintage quilts. You know, it's really sad, but I have to spend time at antique stores and
it's called
shop. You know, it's one of the, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
But I use a lot of vintage fabric, recolorize, resize for my bases for my fabric lines, as well as for different blocks and settings for quilts. So it was really fun that that was from an old wool blanket.
It's very nice. So everybody, you can just go to the allpeoplequilt.com and put in Country Garden or put in Lynn's name. So either one. Now you do more piecing than applique, but you do have lots of sweet applique, just like on that project. What is your preferred method?
As fast and easy as possible. So I don't do, in fact, I say I'm fairly allergic to needle turn applique. It is absolutely beautiful, and I admire people who do needle turn, but that's one of those projects I put in my nursing home box. Someday when I have plenty of time, I will needle turn applique. For now, my preferred method is raw edge applique. If you cut your pieces so that the straight edges are on the bias, and stitch about an eighth of an inch from that bias raw edge. You don't have to turn anything under. There is no finishing to it, but it won't unravel when you wash it because it's all on the bias. So it gives it a little bit of a three-dimensional, primitive, soft, frayed look. And those are my absolute favorite quilts to do. I try to find old blocks that have a gazillion pieces to them that are very intricately pieced, and find a way to put raw edge applique pieces on top and stitch them to give the same effect with none of the difficult piecing. So you can do curved edges like that, diamond shapes, a lot of things you can add raw edge to, and it really takes the pain out of some of those more intricate blocks.
That's really interesting because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to spend that much time, but you want the look.
Exactly.
You want the quilt.
Exactly.
Clever.
And I claim, you know, I'm a pretty lazy quilter. I love the end product, but I want to get there fast because I want tons of quilts. There are so many ideas rattling around in my head and so many ideas out there that other people have done. But like you said, I don't want to take the time to do it. And there's always a list of people who want a quilt from me. So, you know, the faster and easier and I could do it. I don't make heirloom quilts. We joke that we make hairloom quilts because the grandkids and the dogs and, you know, it's like they're going to sit on them and play with them and make forts out of them. And if they don't last, we'll make more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we like each other so much, Lynn. It's like we want to make lots of quilts. It's like,
let's get busy.
Do your lines, and I'm sorry, I didn't check this in advance. Do your lines still have flannels in them? Are you still doing flannel pieces?
We don't have the plaids with every line, but I have a line called KT Classic Plaids that Moda has in the warehouse all the time that's available that blends with and coordinates with all of my prints. It's just kind of a logistical nightmare, trying to get the plaids from India and the prints from Korea all at the same time. And honestly, how many different ways can you do a plaid? So, you know, every couple of years we refresh them a little bit, but all the colors in my palette are available as plaids, and they really work fabulously well for the raw edge, because when the edge curls up, it's the same on the front as it is on the back.
Yeah,
because it's woven.
Yes.
So, and I love the geometry against the prints. I really love the juxtaposition of the geometry of the plaids against florals and prints. So
yeah,
it's just an added dimension.
Mix it up. Mix them in and mix it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you also teach, and for a while you hosted retreats at your studio workspace, and you've retired from doing that type of teaching, but you told me you have a whole new type of teaching you're going to be trying.
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been traveling and going to other people's parties where instead of having to cook and clean and change beds, for just 16 people at a time, we were doing about 20 retreats a year for 7 years.
Mm.
And it took a lot of time away from my fabric and quilt designing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really needed was that studio time to work to do that. So now I can travel. Like, I just went to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and there were 700 women there at a quilting expo. Way bigger exposure.
Mm-hmm.
They planned it, organized it.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was show up, share my quilts, and smile. And it was a fabulous experience.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're going to be at the Vermont Quilt Festival in June.
Yes.
And I will be there as well.
Oh,
so we'll
good.
We'll have to do dinner one night.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm able now to say yes to opportunities that I was unable to do before because I was stuck here hosting retreats where now I can plan ahead. You know, we were booking retreats 18 months in advance, so my kids were telling me, Mom, I'm going to get married. And I'm like, you can't for 18 months. I don't have a free weekend.
Right, no free weekend. Sorry.
That's right.
Reschedule that marriage. That's
yep. Well, two of them got married over holiday weekends, literally, one over the 4th of July and one over Thanksgiving, just because I could not rearrange my schedule.
Right.
So it's nuts.
So you're also going to do an Alaskan cruise, teaching on a cruise.
Yes, another APQ contributor and someone who has been on your show previously, Pam Buda, of Heartsun Quilts, and I have become fast friends and colleagues, and we are going to be doing two cruises a year. We have several on the books now, but our first one is in August this year, going to Alaska. Mm-hmm. It was on both of our bucket lists, and our husbands are just thrilled to death.
Mm-hmm.
So that was absolute top of the list.
Yeah.
We'll be doing a Caribbean cruise February next year. And then in September of 2013, we're going to do a cruise up the coast of New England into Canada when the leaves are turning. So we're really excited about that, too.
Yeah, that's a really nice cruise. I've done that one. I've done the Caribbean a bunch, and I've taught on the New England one. And it's really nice. Nice ports. It's a lot of fun.
Great. Nolan. Good. Glad to hear it. We'll have to talk about that.
Yes, yes, yes. So you also have a newsletter people can sign up for, right?
It's on the website, free. They just need to go to KT Stash. We have a program that we do monthly with a new little pattern every month called the KT Stash Society. And the newsletter is free online. They can download it right there.
Oh, good, 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 good. So what is KT Stash? Tell us about that. We still have a couple minutes.
KT Stash Society is a program for quilt shops, and they offer a new pattern every month. And a lot of it uses pre-cuts. Every time I do a quilt that uses a layer cake or jelly roll, there's odds and ends of pieces left over. So I try to come up with small projects that are very easily doable with parts and pieces and scrappy with raw edge applique on them, usually seasonal pieces, but they definitely are promoting whatever the newest fabric line is and what's coming out next.
Fun. And I see that you can see some of the projects on your website, too, so they can get an idea for that.
Yes.
Neat, neat, neat. Now, I just had a thought on a question about flannels. Are you, do you recommend people pre-wash that? I mean, what do you tell people when they ask you about the flannels?
I don't wash any of my fabric. I like the crispness of the sizing in it. And, you know, really good quality Moda fabric doesn't shrink enough when you wash it that it matters. And I don't wash my quilts real often anyway. I don't recommend washing it unless you're going to use it as the whole backing for a quilt, perhaps. They make such a good product. I just have never had any problem with shrinkage. So, you know, they're
the
best. And I am blessed to be a part of their little village. And congrats to you for joining us.
Yes, I'm excited, excited. So when one last question, when you go to a quilt show, which I know you get to some sometimes, do you gravitate to a particular type of quilt, like antique quilts, or do you go and see what's outside of your normal style of quilt? What do you do when you go look at quilts?
Vintage items. I collect the little children's sewing machines and a lot of sewing notions that are, you know, from the mid-1800s, that's always my first goal, is to cruise the show and find those kinds of things, because there aren't very many, and there's usually, you know, once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
And then I love to see things that are totally different than what I do. It just opens your mind to so many other ideas and things that I could possibly adapt to what I'm doing. But you see a whole world of different colors that I don't live with. And it's just really fun to see what all's out there.
Lynn, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming on the show.
You are so welcome, and thanks for having me. And we'll see you soon in Kansas City.
I will. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us online and be sure to sign up for our newsletter. We were talking with Lynn Hagmeier of Kansas Truffle Quilts, ktquilts.com. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for